signs of royalty should appear in the camp. And if the enterprise should fail, his escape was contrived to the imperial court. But the new monarch was saluted with unanimous acclamations. The flight of Kosciuszko, yet where could he have fled, was rudely arrested. 18 sons were massacred before his face, and he was thrown into a dungeon where he expired on the fifth day. The Greeks and modern Persians minutely describe how Kosciuszko was insulted and famished and tortured by the command of an inhuman son who so far surpassed the example of his father. But at the time of his death, what tongue would relate the story of the parricide? What eye could penetrate into the Tower of Darkness? According to the faith and mercy of his Christian enemies, he sunk without hope into a still deeper abyss. And it would not be denied that tyrants of every age and sect are the best entitled to such infernal abodes. The glory of the House of Sasan ended with the life of Kosciuszko. His unnatural son enjoyed only 8 months the fruit of his crimes, and in the space of 4 years the regal title was assumed by 9 candidates who disputed with a sword or dagger the fragments of an exhausted monarchy. Every province and each city of Persia was a scene of independence, of discord, and of blood, and the state of anarchy prevailed about 8 years longer, till the factions were silenced and united under the common yoke of the Arabian caliphs. As soon as the mountains became passable, the emperor received the welcome news of the success of the conspiracy, the death of Kosciuszko, and the elevation of his eldest son to the throne of Persia. The authors of the revolution, eager to display their merits in the court or camp of Tauris, preceded the ambassadors of Siroes, who delivered the letters of their master to his brother, the emperor of the Romans. In the language of the usurpers of every age, he imputes his own crimes to the deity, and without degrading his equal majesty, he offers to reconcile the long discord of the two nations by a treaty of peace and alliance more durable than brass or iron. The conditions of the treaty were easily defined and faithfully executed. In the recovery of the standards and prisoners which had fallen into the hands of the Persians, the emperor imitated the example of Augustus. Their care of the national dignity was celebrated by the poets of the times, but the decay of genius may be measured by the distance between Horace and George of Pisidia. The subjects and brethren of Heraclius were redeemed from persecution, slavery, and exile. But instead of the Roman eagles, the true wood of the Holy Cross was restored to the importunate demands of the successor of Constantine. The victor was not ambitious of enlarging the weakness of the empire. The son of Kosciuszko abandoned without regret the conquests of his father. The Persians who evacuated the cities of Syria and Egypt were honorably conducted to the frontier, and a war which had wounded the vitals of the two monarchies produced no change in their external and relative situation. The return of Heraclius from Tauris to Constantinople was a perpetual triumph, and after the exploits of 6 glorious campaigns, he peaceably enjoyed the Sabbath of his toils. After a long impatience, the Senate, the clergy, and the people went forth to meet their hero with tears and acclamations, with olive branches and innumerable lamps. He entered the capital in a chariot drawn by 4 elephants, and as soon as the emperor could disengage himself from the tumult of public joy, he tasted more genuine satisfaction in the embraces of his mother and his son. The succeeding year was illustrated by a triumph of a very different kind, the restitution of the true cross to the Holy Sepulchre. Heraclius performed in person the pilgrimage of Jerusalem. The identity of the relic was verified by the discreet patriarch, and this august ceremony has been commemorated by the annual festival of the Exaltation of the Cross. Before the emperor presumed to tread the consecrated ground, he was instructed to strip himself of the diadem and purple, the pomp and vanity of the world. But in the judgment of his clergy, the persecution of the Jews was more easily reconciled with the precepts of the gospel. He again ascended his throne to receive the congratulations of the ambassadors of France and India, and the fame of Moses, Alexander, and Hercules was eclipsed in the popular estimation by the superior merit and glory of the great Heraclius.